We think we know ourselves, but God knows us much deeper than we could ever hope to be known. And I want to encourage you, because he helps us in our weakness. He does. And he dwells in our life. That's what Jesus said. I will send you a comforter. He will be with you forever.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, May 31st, 2026. Pastor Zonia speaking. Today's message is entitled, The Comforter, How the Holy Spirit Works in Our Lives. And our text comes to us from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
This morning, it's my privilege to ask you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 28. And let's see, before you do that, do you have Tori's baby in the picture? This is not, oh, she's left, okay. This is not your baby, okay. This is Chris. There you are, okay. Isn't that beautiful? The new member of the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. Tori, ah, wonderful. You remember when you were born? I don't. I remember when our children were born and we had a wonderful experience of life and we said, what are we gonna do now? And the Lord helped us. So anyway, welcome. Baby August. So we go to Romans chapter 8, very known passage of scripture, verse 26 through 28. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in according with God's will. And this is the one that everybody knows and quotes. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. This morning, we go to one of the most tender moments in the life of Jesus and his disciples. Because Romans 8, 26 through 28 make reference to John 14, 1 and 16 through 18. That speaks about Jesus saying, I'm not going to leave you alone. I am sending the Holy Spirit. Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples in John 14. And the cross was just hours away. And the disciples did not really understand everything that was going on, but they knew that something was off kilter. The atmosphere was very heavy, and Jesus was speaking of betrayal, of suffering, speaking about leaving. And their world, the disciples' world, was beginning to unravel. Have you ever had your world unravel just a little bit? So into that troubled room, Jesus spoke these words in John 14, 1. Let not your heart be what? Troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus doesn't say to them, you have no reason to be troubled. In fact, they had many reasons to be troubled. They were about to see the Lord arrested. Peter is about to fail. They're going to be scattering in fear. And everything familiar, here's the key, was about to change. Sometimes we live in life and things begin to trigger and things begin to change. And you're no longer in control. Really, you're not. And yet Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Well, how? How is that? How can troubled people live in peace? A few more verses of chapter 14 of John comes into focus. He says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Forever. And so the answer to a troubled heart is not the absence of problems, but the presence of God in those problems. You and I need to know that this is absolutely true. The answer to our turmoil heart is God's presence in our life. Jesus is promising a life that can never be lived alone. No, never alone. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit so that you and I will have the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You and I cannot live alone and expect to be successful. No way. The promise that Jesus made in John 14, which is the upper room ministry, that's when he spoke at the upper room, before the day of Pentecost, of course, is fulfilled in Romans chapter 8, the text that we read. Here, Paul describes the ongoing ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of every believer. Are you a believer today? Amen. The Holy Spirit is in you, and he ministers to you. You need to listen to what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. The ongoing ministry of the Holy Spirit in every single believer. And in this morning, I'd like to simply address five ways, with five dimensions, or five ministries of the Holy Spirit that sustains you and me in every moment of our lives. Better yet, in every season of our lives. Before I came to the pulpit, I just saw in the back of my desk, it's like a little desk itself, and I saw an album that I have not seen in years, and it said Memories. And so I did what I should not have done. I opened up the album, and there I saw all the generations our church has gone through. I saw, for some of you old timers, I saw Tony. I saw Bill with Jeffrey, who was only 3 years old. I saw all the gang that used to be here that is now in the presence of the Lord. In every season of life, the Lord has been there. And whatever season you're going through, I want you to know categorically that the Spirit of God is working in our life. First thing, the Spirit of God helps us in our weakness. Boy, am I so glad about that. Because in Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. You know, it's amazing what the preachings that sometimes I hear it. The Christian life begins and continues with a very simple admission. We are weak, but he is strong. I am weak, but he is strong. And being weak is not a failure on my part. It's a reality. It's a reality. And how do we become weak? Well, we become weak physically. How many know that? Don't even raise your hand, please. Don't be scared. We would resemble ER, you know. We become weak emotionally. Sometimes we become weak spiritually. We're all confused. And yet, at the same time, there are days that we find our faith to be strong. And yet, the next day, we kind of like struggle just to get up. A great author of the Bible, not author of the Bible, commentator of the Bible, points that Christianity never assumes human self-sufficiency. That was William Barclay. We were never designed to carry life by ourselves. Can I say that to you again? You and I were never designed to carry the burden by ourselves. And here you are, hero, you know, superwoman, superman. I'll do it. You can't. No puedes. You can't. If I could bring a message in tongues, the interpretation would be, you can't. You can't. You can't. You can't. This is why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us. And those of us, those of you, those of us, I should say, that go through things, if you just take a second, you would see the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. He comes alongside to help you. The picture that Paul uses is a picture of someone stepping where we are under the heavy load to help us carry it. Because sometimes those burdens don't disappear. They're there, but the Holy Spirit helps us. He helps our infirmities. Oh, we want those infirmities to disappear. but he helps us to carry it. It's a beautiful image. The burden is still real, but all of a sudden, it's not that heavy because the Spirit of God is carrying it. We're not alone. The Spirit helps us in ways in which cannot understand or decipher. Not that we're strong, but we're strong when we're weak. We don't have all the answers, but the Lord has all the answers. I'm here with you. And that accompaniment, knowing that the Lord is there, however it is, he helps us carry the load. He helps us in our weaknesses. So the first ministry of the Holy Spirit is his presence beside you. So no matter what you're going through, the Lord is there. And may I go ahead of the whole message and say, if he's there, then what do you care? Well, it's our humanity. And there's a reason why things go the way they go in our lives. But let me go on by saying the second thing is that the Spirit understands us better than we understand ourselves. I'm glad because I'm often confused. Tori, you'll never let me forget that one. I know you won't. That's okay. But sometimes we get confused. Sometimes we don't understand ourselves. Romans 8:26 says, "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought." What an honest statement that is. Sometimes we don't know what to pray for. We know we hurt. We know we're afraid. And most of the time we're confused. It's part of who we are. And we don't really know what we need. Should I rebuke the demons that are coming after me? You know, I've heard people say that the answer is that. No, it's not the answer for that. The disciples felt that way in the upper room. They felt confused in the sense that they don't know how to pray. We don't know what to ask for. We don't know how to really end up. Why is this happening? I mean, I'm a pretty good person. Why is this happening to me? Well, perhaps that's how we feel today. Henry Nouwen, a great scholar, reminded us that God is closer to us than we are to ourselves. I just can't figure that out. I thought I was as close as that could be to me. But the Lord is closer to us than we are to ourselves. Chew on that one for a little bit. Because see, the Holy Spirit lives in us. The moment you came to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. And he knows all about you. He knows your habitat. He knows all about your fears. He knows all about your wounds. Did you know he knows all about your disappointments? Oh, yeah. Yes, he does. He also knows the questions we can't even know how to ask. He's there. He understands your heart and my heart more accurately than we can understand them ourselves. Ooh. I almost said something in Guatemalan, but it could be misunderstood by some of you. Caramba. I think that's safe. Caramba. Él sabe todo. He knows everything. You know, sometimes our prayers are eloquent. I come before you, Father. We got all the vocabulary of a theologian, you know. Sometimes our prayers are just tears. Sometimes our prayers are just simply silence. And yet, no matter how we present our prayers, the Spirit understands them all 100%. He knows exactly, because he dwells in us. How about that one? Can you say, thank you, Lord? You're not a surprise to God. I'm a surprise to myself. Have you ever surprised yourself? I did the other day. Mirror, mirror, on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Did not get an answer. But anyway, let's move on. The thing is that we think we know ourselves, but God knows us much deeper than we could ever hope to be known. And I want to encourage you, because he helps us in our weakness. He does. And he dwells in our life. That's what Jesus said. I will send you a comforter. He will be with you forever. That's throughout all eternity. wow, there's a lot that we can do with that theologically. The moment that our eyes are closed in this world, we're open on the other. And the Holy Spirit continues to be. And if we will be forever with him. The third thing. Today, you and me need to understand that forever the Spirit of God will intercede for us. Verse 26 of Romans says, the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Think about it for a moment. He, the Holy Spirit, does not just watch you struggle. He doesn't just say, see how you get out of this one. See, that's the voice of the enemy. That's your own carnal voice. Those are your insecurities. The Holy Spirit does not just watch us struggle. He joins us. He prays for us, if you can figure that out. He carries our deepest needs before the Father. Think of that. You know, there are times in life when words will fail. I've been in hospital rooms and I thought, blah, 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 blah. Lord, you know, if you've been in a hospital room, you know how difficult it is to make a coherent prayer. Yet he's there. I've been in funeral services with my heart just wrenched into pieces. I have. How about broken relationships? How do you decipher that? How do you put that together? How do you justify? You condemn yourself all the time. Hey, what about a doctor's diagnosis? Ooh. What about the seasons of uncertainty in our lives? What am I going to do now? Now, we're looking at those pictures in that album. I'm going to hide that. I don't want to see it again. All of a sudden, I saw 40-plus years of my life. Wow. What will the next ones do? I have no idea. And there are moments when all we can do is sigh. However, in that state, prayer continues. In that state, the Spirit of God intercedes for us. But even more than that, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ intercedes as well. And you and I find ourselves between the Spirit of God that dwells in our heart and the second person of the Trinity at the right side of God interceding for us. We're between two of the greatest wonderful gifts of grace that could ever be given. This is why we say it's a safe place to be. Because the Spirit of God intercedes for you, and so does Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. There's so much more we can say there, but I need to move on with the message. But I'm telling you, that in itself is one of the greatest messages and revelations that your spirit could ever catch. That you are between two prayer warriors. Prayers that are always answered on your behalf. What the Spirit of God prays and how Jesus prays and intercedes for you in the Father. So at the right hand of the Father, we have Jesus. And inside of us, we have the Holy Spirit that prays for you, for me. We're surrounded by divine grace. And yet when we go through the problem, we find ourselves lost and we find ourselves insecure. And yet we should not need to have that. But the wonderful thing about it is that even when you and I feel insecure, the prayer goes on. Even when you don't see it or you don't feel it, Jesus is still praying and interceding for you, and so is the Holy Spirit on your behalf. It's beyond your capacity to control the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You just need to accept it. So all of the imperfect prayers that you and I have in moments of great stress and great volatility, our imperfect prayers are presented to the Father according to his perfect will. The Spirit of God will never pray against God. He will pray always for you so that whatever you and I go through, it will become one of the key elements of making us more like Christ. And that's my fourth point, that the Spirit forms Christ within us. Many people think the Spirit of work is merely to comfort us, but it's a lot more than that. His ministry is much deeper than comforting. He is in the process of transforming us. And when you go through things in life, there's a transformation that is taking place. It is true. Romans 8 is not just simply about surviving hardship. It's becoming the people God intended for you and I to become. It is God working in you. It is so helpful to understand that spiritual formation is the process through which Christ is being molded in your life and my life. All of a sudden, you find out that all of those issues that you were battling are part of the process of making you more like Christ. That's why it's not against you, it's for you. It is battling life and reality as it is. And there are certain ingredients and certain things in our life that need to be somewhat purified, processed, so that our dependency is on the Lord. I really thank the Lord for this, because what a great writer of New Testament stuff, actually the Old and New Testament stuff, speaks and quotes a great, actually he's a theologian, but he's also more of a psychologist. He says that we need to have a long obedience in the same direction. That there's something about being obedient in the long direction, long obedience in the same direction. We go through issues, but that's okay, because those issues are moving us towards where God wants us to be. Paul said that until Christ is formed in you. So the work of the Holy Spirit is working through what you're going through. And he works quietly. Oh, that's the problem. We want noise, see? But he work quietly in the secret part of your hearts. You don't even realize what he's doing. And he works consistently. And sometimes we ask God to change our circumstances, but often the Holy Spirit, instead of changing the circumstances, he changes us. And that's where the rubber meets the road. I want it my way. We want it his way. And so as you tackle the issues in your life today, ask the Lord Jesus to show you how he would tackle it, how he would do it. And this causes us to learn patience. How about developing some humility a little bit? Anyway, not much, but some. He strengthens our faith, our commitment to God. He deepens love. He's in the process of creating what we know as Christian character. That's tough. And yet, the greatest miracle is not that God changes the situation. The greatest miracle is that he changes us while we walk through it. At this point, my notes did not say everybody will say praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen. I'll say they'll be absolutely quiet. Well, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. He understands us better. He intercedes for us, and he forms Christ in our lives as one more. And it's that the Spirit of God assures us that God is working in all things. There's nothing in your life that God is not working in, he's not involved in. How about that? Every single aspect of your life. This is why Paul says in 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Paul does not say that all things are good. Sickness is not really good. Grief is not really good. Loss is not really good. Disappointment is not really good. But God is at work in all of those areas in your life. That's what this is. The Spirit helps us. The Spirit understands us. The Spirit intercedes for us. The Spirit transforms you and me. And also, the Spirit of the Lord wants to assure you and me that he is not abandoning us, that he's not walking away from us because we made a mistake, because we fumbled the ball, because we got off course. And here is the great thing. No matter what has gone wrong or right, for that matter, everything that you've gone through is not wasted. It's not wasted. That is to say, the tears are not wasted. Your failures are not wasted. Your disappointments are not wasted. Not even your unanswered questions are wasted. Not even the cough that my sister has is wasted. God is always working in our lives, even when his work unfolds slowly enough that we fail to notice it. You don't even know it, but God's working in your life. Now, I do need to say, can you say amen to that? But all of us.
Amen.
Hasta que al fin resucita el muerto, you know. You know, I can't go back to that album that I saw that I should have never seen, but I saw it. As I was looking at those pages, those pictures from yesterday, oh, my trouble seemed so far away. My God, I saw the hand of God. I saw the children growing up and serving God. I discovered for just a minute and a half of looking at those pictures how God was guiding us all the way. All the way. And God's guiding you this morning. No matter what. No matter what. Even if you fought with your husband this morning. Or your wife. Goes both ways. Even if you felt bad this morning for whatever reasons. God is guiding you all the way through. You thought you were alone. You are not. You thought God was absent. He is not. You thought your story was over. It is not. God is working in your life, my brothers and my sisters. As we're making sure that the composite of the messes we make in life are all processed so that at the end, we will be more like Christ. Oh, wow. Ah, we can't lose. So let me conclude by saying, as we go back to the upper room where Jesus spoke before he was crucified, Jesus looked into the eyes of the troubled disciples that he had. He looks at your eyes and he looks at my eyes. He looks at all of us and he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be troubled. Why? Because they are not going to be abandoned. The cough won. You got to work with the crowds. Everybody paid attention to that. Don't be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. You're not going to be, you're not alone. Don't over agitate yourself as to what you're facing this morning, because you are not alone. To the disciples, he said, I'm sending the Comforter. And he came. And the Holy Spirit is present with us this very morning to help us in our weaknesses. He understands better than we understand ourselves. He intercedes with words that don't fail. He forms Christ within us. And he assures us that he's working in everything that's going on in our lives. No matter how discolated it is, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how unfathomable it is, no matter how confusing it is, the answer is God is working in all things. So the answer to a troubled heart is not trouble-free life. It's a life that is admits and understands the presence of God. Not trouble-free, but present with God. God is in your life. Trust him. Trust him. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of what? Whatever disappointment you may have today, just make that word there. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death is one of them. Doubt, insecurity, fear, health. I will fear no evil. In other words, it can't touch you. It cannot destroy you. For what? Because you are with me. So this morning, I just want you to remember this. You're not abandoned. You're not alone. The Comforter has come. The Spirit remains, and God is still at work in your life. So be encouraged that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Our Father, we thank you, for you working in our lives is all that really matters. I thank you, Lord, that we can be secure in knowing that your Spirit works in our lives. Even when we feel abandoned, you're still working. Even when we feel wrong feelings, you're still there. It doesn't matter what we feel, really, Lord. What matters is that we know that you will never leave us nor forsake us. So we move away from a life of feeling into a life of knowledge. You don't leave us. You don't forsake us, no matter how we feel. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Will you stand with me, please? All right, church, this is the day
the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. You are dismissed this Sunday morning.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.